Well, good evening, everyone. It's great to be with you. I tell you what, you wouldn't believe how precious it is getting to church when you can't make it. And thank you for your prayers. Many of you know I've not been that well the past 24 hours, but I really feel like I'm on the mend. I don't feel well enough to preach tonight. Philip's going to do that for me. But I so wanted to be here to call the church to this vital subject that we're looking at tonight. So I wanted to come, kept my distance, and I'm going to leave in just a moment. But I wanted to come and say, this issue of faith and origins that we're going to look at tonight is so, so vital for ourselves, for our own faith, for those we're trying to reach, for our children and our young children. And I want to call you to have great courage and humility as we look at this subject. Tonight, there's a TV program on, it's just started, on Channel 4, where basically a professor from Oxford is knocking Christianity and saying that basically science has steadily been disproving Christianity, and over time will probably show us that there's no need for the religious, and our reasons why we want the religious will all be proved by science. And that's happening right now. On the second night, that showed in the UK, the second week, this series that's been going on, Knocking Christianity, a million people watched it. So I want to say thanks for coming tonight. Thank you for coming and engaging with the truth. And as you listen and hear in the newspapers stories about faith and origins and people's views on Christians, I think often as Christians, we can do one of two things. We can either get really arrogant and proud and say, you know what, you've got it completely wrong, and things rise up within us that are unloving. And that is not the call on Christians. The call on Christians is to have faith expressing itself in love, and that shows itself in humility. Because we don't have all the answers. But we do have the answer. And the answer is Jesus Christ, and it's looking into his word and letting that be our rule and our guide. And to do that takes great courage. Because often you'll feel weak. Often you'll feel you don't have all the answers, but like I do coming around tonight. But courage is what you and I are called to in these days. Courage to engage with our neighbors and friends. Courage to talk to them this week about the things they've been hearing on the TV or all that they've been reading in the press. Courage, because we believe there is a God. And we believe that his word can be trusted. So here's what I want to ask of you tonight. Listen very carefully to Philip. Listen to God's word as it's read. Explore this book. This is not just another Sunday evening. I wanted to come back and put down a marker almost and say, this is an evening where we're putting a marker in the ground as a church again and saying, we believe God's word. And we will stand for that, and we'll stand for that even when actually we get knocks, people might mock us, people might say all kinds of things, even when the enemy will try and have a field day, we'll stand for that, and we will keep acting with courage and with humility. So listen tonight. I've given Philip a bit of a big ask at short notice to preach this message, and done some quite a bit of work on that. And so if you at times think, wow, this isn't as easy to listen to as it might be if someone had come up with that message completely on their own, then work over that and do whatever it takes to really engage tonight. I'm going to stop preaching and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray for Philip, for all of us. I'm going to pray for this guy who's presenting this program tonight, doesn't have a clue what he's doing, what he's dealing with in the heavenly realms. And I'm going to pray that we as a church would keep coming against the enemy and his lies, which abound in this area like you wouldn't believe. So let's pray right now, and in our hearts, allow courage and humility to form within us. Heavenly Father, it has been so wonderful to hear your people as I've been out the back praising you worshiping you, declaring that you are God. And Lord, I say amen. You are God Most High. We believe and trust in you, that you are great, that you are glorious. Come upon Philip now by your Spirit. Anoint him to proclaim your word with great courage and humility, with great conviction and boldness. Lord, thank you for my brother. Thank you for Tim and what he shared this morning, and Mike. Thank you that we're a team together, all of us here. Father, I pray for everyone who's come tonight. Lord, they've come for a reason. They've come to meet with you. They've come to encounter your word. And God, I pray that you would speak to them, that you would touch their hearts, Lord, that you would give us faith and love and courage and humility in these days. Lord, I pray that we would go out tomorrow into the situations and places that you've appointed for us to be. And Lord, we would be speakers of the truth in a world where there are so many lies. And Lord, I pray, please God, for this man, I think his name's Colin Blakemore, tonight presenting this program. I pray, Lord, that you would have mercy on him. Pray, Lord, that you would open his eyes. Lord, we want this man to know you. And Lord, we pray for the many thousands, hundreds of thousands who watch that program tonight. God, we pray that ourselves and others like us here, your church in this nation, would rise up and with courage and humility help them understand your word and what it has to say on these important issues. And so, Jesus, we proclaim you a Lord. And Satan, we're giving you notice again, saying you are the deceiver, you are the father of lies, you have no right over your hold over our nation, over this city. We are coming against you in the name of the Lord our God, the armies of heaven. You may come with sword and spear, but we have the Lord on our side. And the battle is not ours, it's the Lord's. And so, Jesus, we proclaim you as Lord tonight. Your word is true. And we look forward to your appearing one day. And pray, speed us as your people on the great commission you've given us. For we ask in the powerful name of Jesus the Savior. Amen. Listen carefully, take notes if you can, and speak with courage and humility as you leave this place as well. Thanks, Philip.
Thank you, Dave. I wish Dave would carry on preaching. I thought. Thank you, Dave. Be praying for you. Bless you. This subject tonight hasn't come out of the blue. It's found, we're focusing on Hebrews chapter 11. And if you remember, before the year ended last year, we were going through Hebrews and learning a number of things about who Jesus was, that Jesus was the better word. He was better than Moses. He was our great high priest. He was the better sacrifice, that he ascended into heaven and entered the most holy place, where because of him, now we too can enter the most holy place because we are in him. As he enters, we can enter because we're in Christ. If you remember that David taught us. And that through faith in Christ that we are saved. And because of our salvation, because of our confidence, we need not shrink back and throw away our confidence, but live by faith. So now we come to this chapter that talks about faith and explains how faith works. And so it isn't a subject that came to counter what's going on television tonight. It was a subject that came within the teaching program of our church, and it just happens to be God's timing for us. So let's read this wonderful scripture. It's three verses. I'm going to read it twice just to make sure we hear it. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. I'd like you to read it, actually. Would you read it to me? Read it back to me. Now, faith
is being sure of what we hope for.
That's the most powerful thing you'll hear tonight. Okay? That's what it's all about. It's about believing in God who created everything. David tells a story, excuse me, of Isaac Newton. Now, he was working at home, and he produced a model, as far as you could understand it, of the universe. Very impressive. And a friend of his came along and looked at this model and thought, hey, this is wonderful. Who made it? Newton said, nobody did. And his friend said, come on. You know, it's so good and so right and so representative that somebody must have made it. And Newton turned around and said to him, look, you are willing to believe, because this model exists, that somebody made it, yet you refuse to believe what is real and exists throughout creation wasn't made by anyone. And that's the kind of world we live in. People are willing to believe in things that man can put together, but not things that God has put together, things they can't avoid acknowledging as being there. Newton saw through his friend's arguments and wanted to illustrate to him, you know, what is real can only be explained in terms of God himself. Creation, evolution, the origins of species are a subject of great interest and concern. Therefore, we have this kind of program that goes on tonight, and I'm sure it won't be very long before another program comes on and raises the same issues. And not least recently because of the 200th anniversary, rather, of Darwin's birth. If you remember, a lot was said about that quite recently. And also the 150th anniversary of The Origins of the Species, the book that he wrote. I don't know how many have read that book or had to dip into it. Well, one or two. It seems to be part of school curriculum, isn't it? And most folks, and our children today particularly, are growing up in an education system that believes science has all the answers, and science can actually, at a push, can explain away God. And that's what this guy tonight is going to try to say, that science can explain away God. Now, you may have friends, for example, that you might get into conversation with about spiritual things, and they get to a point when you really get into to the knuckle of the subject, and they'll turn around and say, well, surely science has disproved that the Bible is true and that God exists. It's almost a throwaway line people use to put you off, as it were, at your stride. And that's an argument that often is raised. And so we live in a stage where, like never before in history, the rise of atheism has permeated, particularly the Western world. And, you know, and we have to look particularly at the Western world because it's often thought, because we think, when I say we, the Western world in the secular sense, think God does not exist, then that must be the majority of you in the world. That's not so. By far, the majority of people in this world actually believe in a creator God who made everything. They believe in an all-powerful creator God. So these guys actually are in the minority. They have a lot of access to the media and so on. But by far, people in the world believe in a God of creation. Yet we see in the media, especially the British media, a lot of disdain and contempt for those who do hold the view of a designer of creation. You know, the term is intelligent design that's often used. There's an intelligent designer behind all that exists. People who have that view are being ridiculed. Worse still, those who actually call themselves unashamedly creationists, they too are ridiculed. In the press, do you find that? There's articles written about folks who believe in the existence of God, treated as though they were like kids who believed in fairy tales. Every generation of Christians has had its own stigma to bear and a real challenge to their faith. Every generation had to stand up for their faith in the face of ridicule and severe testing as well. And confidence in creating our, in God creating our universe is one of the key issues that face us today. Would you agree with that? And it's the basis of everything we believe. Everything stands on that, really. I'll come to that in a moment. Artie Kendall wrote these words about Christians, actually. Many want to believe God and enjoy the venture of faith, which the warriors of faith, which we find in the rest of Hebrews 11 as you read it, experience, but often prefer not to have to believe the Genesis account of creation. Indeed, many stand in awe of Enoch and Abraham and Moses, but fancy the possibility of sidestepping the question of creation by God's own act. Have you come across folks like that? Even within Christendom, there are folks that admire the people of faith, but don't believe what the Bible actually says. Verse 3 says, by faith we believe. By faith faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. And faith then stimulated acts of faith and steps of faith in the rest of those guys in Hebrews 11. By faith, we read about Abraham and Moses and all these guys moving into the will of God, the purpose of God, each time by faith. And I wonder if your name is in that list. Do you know God wants your name to be in that list? God wants to read at the end of days, by faith, Graham prayed believing. By faith, Adam stood his ground at work. By faith, Tim did not stop preaching. By faith, we continued taking our stand and still stand. There's still a huge confusion, though, in the church and also outside the church about both the question of faith and origins, and that's our focus of this evening. And we're going to look at the world's understanding of faith, first of all, then look at the Christian's understanding of faith, and then we're going to look at the world's understanding of origins, and then the Christian's understanding of origins. Much is at stake, as I said earlier here. Our understanding of the universe is at stake. That's what verse 3 tells us. By verse, we understand. By faith, we understand. And our salvation and righteousness are at stake. If you look at verse 7, our pleasing God is at stake, because we can't please him without faith. Verse 6, our confidence is at stake. We actually could look at chapter 10 there, verse 35. And our commendation before God is at stake. The only thing we could be commended for that will count for us in eternity is faith. Believing God and standing on his word in this life. There's a lot at stake. And all these things, our salvation, our righteousness, our confidence, our pleasing God, our commendation, all these things are ours by faith. Not in science, but our faith. Not in conforming, but our faith in the Word of God. In our world, there are two big reasons why people actually believe things. Science says so people believe it. Everyone else says so people believe it. And if they say something different, they fear being mocked and ridiculed. But the encouragement for us tonight is not to let these things take precedence over our lives and over our faith in God's word. Our reference point is God himself. What God says, we believe. Okay, the world understanding of faith. This is the general view. They see it as believing what we know is not true. That's kind of their kind of definition of faith. Believing what ain't true. Faith is believing something you can't prove and isn't real. And I don't know how many times you've talked to friends who say something like, well, I'd like to have faith, but I just can't. Yeah, I want faith, but I just can't seem to embrace it. And what they're really saying is they can't give it credence and credibility. And actually the root word of credibility is the word credo, which actually means believing. So that they're saying they're just refusing to believe. And our faith is in a God who reveals himself in parts. If you like, he leaves gaps. And we need to believe him not just because of what is revealed, but because of the gaps also. That makes him God. Otherwise, he wouldn't be God, would he? If there weren't unknowns about God, he would not be God. Would you agree with me? And he leaves those gaps for us. And even those reinforce our faith. But not in the world. They want things to fit. So, that brings us to our understanding of faith. Believing what we know is true. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. That's what the ancients were commended for. And that's what you'll be commended for as well. Being sure that what God has said is true. This is the real account. This is how things began. This is how things are. This is how things will be in the future as well. Faith for the Christian is based on God's word. God's word is true. Psalm 33, verse 4. It might be worth just looking at that. Just that verse. Psalm 33, verse 4. It says that God's word is right and true. That he's faithful in all that he does. For the word of the Lord is right and true. Faithful. He is faithful in all that he does. God is faithful. God does not lie. Would you agree with me? Well, that should be enough, really, for tonight. God does not lie. Why do people lie? Can I suggest they lie sometimes because they don't know all that's involved in a situation, and therefore they can make up some things. They don't know it all, therefore they can pretend they know it all, right? And there the others, other people lie because they have, let me just get this bit of the notes right here. And other people lie because they actually make a mistake. They think they've got it right and they made a mistake, but to cover the mistake, they lie. Well, God isn't like you and me. God does not need to lie. God, in essence, is truth itself. And that's why we have confidence in the truth that is laid down in his word for us. He is truth. We can believe him. We can trust him. It isn't just a blind leap of faith. It isn't believing in what ain't true. Faith is saying, I will take God at his word, even when I don't understand it, even when I think he's got it wrong. Yeah? That's faith. Put simply, faith says God's word is true. In that sense, sometimes we're walking a little bit blind in that we haven't got the visual things to go on to give us certainty. That's why it's called faith. But that doesn't make things any less certain for us. In fact, you can see things and presume they'll always behave the same way, but they don't. If you look at Hebrews 11:29, you'll see a great illustration of this. Hebrews 11:29. It says, by faith the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. There's a difference here between faith and presumption. Faith is acting on what God said and seeing it fulfilled. The Israelites, if you remember, they were kicked out of Egypt. Well, they were reluctantly kicked out of Egypt, having tried to get away. And they got to the Red Sea, and God said to them through Moses that you're going to cross the Red Sea. When you step into it, it'll part, and you'll cross on dry ground. That's what God said to them. They believed it, and that's what happened. When the Egyptians came behind them, trying to pursue them, they saw with their eyes that the ground was dry. And they presumed, we can do what they can do. And it was presumption, because they went in, and the water came, and they were drowned and killed. There's a vast difference between what the people of faith can do and those who presume they can do something. They fail miserably. So we are called to those who have faith and not act on presumption. And verse 2 says, the ancients, those in the Old Testament and the rest of Hebrews 11, were commended for their faith. They moved on God's instructions. They waited for God to tell them what the next step would be. And therefore, each step was successful. We're going to look now at the world's understanding of origins. And this is where I'm going to have to read a lot, because this is Dave's area of passion, area of science. Okay? By the world, we mean here, again, the general Western world. It is easy to think that people, I think it's a point that I made earlier, really, that folks think, everybody thinks like them, that, you know, the majority of people think God does not exist, but actually that's just a Western view rather than a worldwide view. And then it says, Western world understanding of origin comes from science, which builds its understanding on two things, observation and then theories to understand observations. I don't want to read this now, okay? Well, knowing that we are heading towards unpacking these verses, I want us to start thinking about science. Here's, again, David's quote. I love science. I always have for a long time. As far as I can remember. So please don't worry that this is going to be a let's bash science talk. I studied engineering at Cambridge University and worked as an engineer before working here at the church. So I have a strong scientific background. I love the way science helps us understand the way things work, like why water expands when it freezes, which is why you should never put a full bottle of water in the freezer. I love the way science helps us view the world and the universe, helping us realize that these things are far more amazing and far more beautiful than we had first thought. From huge galaxies, one of David's famous pictures there, and the clusters of galaxies, and then to the order of the cells in a small plant leaf. Science has revealed something of how the human body works. There is much we don't understand, but the bits we do understand show us that the human body is a very clever thing. I used to work, as you said, as an engineer in a big design team designing cars. We'd spend 3 or 4 years, maybe, with 500 or more engineers working on different aspects of design just to come up with a new model. Still, just a car. But a new model of car. Things in different places, different shapes, different specs, engine and so on. The human body is far more complex and far more brilliantly designed than any car. And the beauty of natural things. Things are increasingly designed to have an organic look. Even today, they make cars that in some respect mirror some human qualities. I remember this Renault car with a big piece at the back calling it, well, you know what I mean. What was the phrase? I see you, baby. That's right. Whatever. And I mean, the latest Vauxhall car, for example, I know they've got them designed where they can see where potholes are and what have you. Almost given human qualities, human abilities. I think that's what he's getting at there. There's a large and growing exciting movement, however, which is made up of loads of scientists, Christian scientists, who are looking to prove intelligent design in nature and the proof of a creator. These guys have really helped me, says David speaking again, really helped me in my thinking, but I think I have a really great impact. I think they have a really great impact on the scientific community because they aren't rubbishing science. They are actually showing that that science points to God. And then David recommends a couple of books. Dave Reese has very kindly provided these books here on the table over here. And there are a number of them there. But the two that David recommends are The Hallmarks of Design. And he says this was written by an engineer. It's really simply put together and simply read. And then the other one is The Case for the Creator, which is a book by Lee Strobel. I think many of you have read some of Lee Strobel's stuff, Case for Faith, Case for Christ, and so on. So these are books that you can, just for your own inquiry and to satisfy your own interest. And he says these are great books, and it talks about Lee Strobel being the guy who believed himself and prided himself in being an atheist. And he's the guy who ended up believing and has become quite apologist for the Christian faith, standing up for the Christian faith and people of faith. So as someone with a love for science and confidence in science, let me also point something out here, David says. Science has its limitations. Two big problems in science are when you make wrong assumptions and when you oversimplify. An example of wrong assumptions, for example, if you think of the Titanic, it was made and it was assumed to be unsinkable. Wrong assumption. Disastrous effects. And that can happen in life too, when people make wrong assumptions that God doesn't exist. Big trouble when they face eternity. And I'm going to do a little experiment now. I wonder if my friends here will help me. This is an experiment to show how simply by observation and extrapolating doesn't always do it. Now, I have a car here, kindly donated by young Joseph, and I'm going to let it run, okay? You need to, I'll ask you the question afterwards, just watch what happens, okay? Now, what you've got to tell me is, where did the car start moving from? Okay? Can you tell me? Where along here? You don't know, do you? Because you can't see. And the simple fact is that we don't know. We can't see. And that's why faith is so important. We can try to work things out. You know, you can take the speed of the car, you know, the power of the thingy that winds it up. Yeah. But you still don't know where it actually started. And that's the main point. We just don't see. And that's why faith is believing, though not seeing. So theories sound impressive, taken as fact, but unsubstantiated, and still just a theory. Thank you. Much in the text of the GCSE curriculum in the books today are, even by scientists, saying they aren't strictly true, but they're presented as true facts based on the theory of evolution. Classic examples are the image of evolution, the pictures that they often put up in schools, like the Java Man, Darwin's Tree of Life, for example. You know, things are much more complicated than presented in those books, but they're presented as facts. science keeps searching, and so theories are constantly getting updated or changed to fit the evidence. Jonathan Wells, who was a PhD student and now doing a postgraduate studies as a research biologist, says, Darwinists assume the story of human life is an evolutionary one, and then they plug the fossils into the pre-existing narrative where they seem to fit. The narrative can take several forms depending on one's bias. So they make things fit according to their assumptions and how they perceive things. Science, at its best, leads people to truth. Good science leads people to truth. Science, at its worst, leads people from the truth. And David was just reflecting on that. How many years have been wasted by wrong assumptions, and energy and money and resources being wasted by people who refuse to believe in God and still don't have the answer to how things began. For many years, again David speaking, in my life, my love for science basically meant that I would try to fit my faith into the prevailing scientific view. But over the years, I've had a significant change, and that is that my point of greatest confidence has shifted from science to the Word of God. I'm glad about that, aren't you? When science is at its best, I believe it will explain what is true. And what is true, I believe, is the Word of God. And then that leads to, that's the sort of world's understanding of origins. This leads to the Christian's understanding of origins. The Christian's understanding of origins is very different in that it's not built on observations, but on God's word. We can see a number of things, but our vision is always limited. And it's not understood by theories, but by faith. First of all, in the word of God, and then faith to understand God's word. 11:3 tells us, faith, by faith, you understand. It is by believing that we begin to understand. It's when we first put our faith in Christ, when we begin to believe, then our understanding begins to open up. Faith precedes understanding. Are you with me there? I know it's been my experience. There were so many things I didn't understand, some basic stuff I didn't understand. The Bible was a mystery to me. But when I believed, I began to understand. It made sense. And to those who believe, a lot of things begin to make sense and fall into place. So it is by faith we understand that the universe in its entirety was made by God. God created it. He formed it. And it goes on so that what was seen was not made out of what was visible. There's a phrase he uses here, ex nihilo, which means it was literally made out of nothing. It was what God did was a supernatural event. It was a miracle. You know, I was talking to somebody quite recently who had just been listening or watching a program, one of these Richard Attenborough's programs, I think, and he was very concerned that some of the things that were said were plausible, and it was beginning to shake him. And my argument is always a simple one. I'm not a scientist. My argument is a very simple one. And I'm saying, you know, you can talk about the millions of years and what have you it took for things to come into being. And in the natural, perhaps that's what would happen. That's what would need to happen in the natural. But we're not talking about the natural here. We're talking about the supernatural. We're talking about God. You know, it talks about God speaking and things coming into being. God knows what it would take for something to develop. But he can speak it into existence in a moment. It could be years in the natural. God can produce a finished article like you and me, with a word. It doesn't take him 9 months. Yeah? And God spoke existence into being, a finished work. That's why he rested. I always ask, why did it take him 7 days? Yeah? Not millions of years. And by faith, we understand these things. By faith, we understand. When we believe in God, there is a breakthrough in knowledge. And the Bible tells us, actually, the fear of the Lord, reverence for the Lord, is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. Of the holy is understanding. Proverbs 9:10. So how did it happen? How did it all come into being? As we said earlier, it was by God's command. In Genesis chapter 1, God said, let there be light. And what happened? There was light. And it continues, let there be land. And what happened? Let there be stars. And there was, let there be vegetation. And there was vegetation. Let there be animals. Well, animals. Let there be human beings. And there was. It says he got some pictures, but obviously I haven't. It's okay. Yeah, can you see why or how different this is from evolution? God speaking things into being. The Bible claims that God speaks and things come into existence. It's impossible for the human eye. It's impossible for the human mind. But it's a God thing. It's a kind of thing that Jesus did while he walked this earth, spoke things, and they were. God made things so well, yet we acknowledge that they do adapt. And this is, we must acknowledge one or two things on the way here. And there are adaptations. There is what is generally called microevolution, where there are changes, adaptations, in animal life, but always within a species. For example, you have the wolves and dog families. Many variations, but within the species. That does not lead to an extrapolation back to macroevolution, that everything came out the same slime. And a caterpillar, for example, is related to the lion. That just is not. It doesn't make sense. Yet they want to believe that. So, going back to the divider and the blue screen and the car. You know, we just can't see it. There are things which we just don't know. And that's where faith comes in. Not theories, but faith in God's word. God's word doesn't just have authority in being an accurate record for us, but it's a trustworthy document. God's word is powerful, the Bible tells us. It is powerful. When God speaks, things happen. And God has spoken in his word, and he's spoken faith to us in his word about himself, about what he can do, what he has done, and what he will do in the future as well. So this word here was spoken by God to instill faith in you. That's how powerful it is. And it works. It's worked in my life, and I'm sure it's worked in the lives of many here this evening. Listen to these words of faith again from Psalm 33. Psalm 33, verses 6 and 9. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. What was seen was not made out of what was visible. Now, that sentence couldn't be phrased better to challenge the theory of evolution. We continue to look for how something seems to have evolved from something else that is seen, never thinking for one minute that something seen could have come from that which was not seen. That's what the evolutionists have got to get a hold of. So faith leads to understanding, as we've said. Not as many suppose that faith leads away from understanding. That's how the scientists would have you believe. Faith takes away understanding altogether. That's what they would say to us. But faith leads to understanding and reveals to us how the universe was formed. At least we have an answer. We know how the world began. These guys are still trying to guess at it. We know how the world began because God has revealed that to us. For not one of us, of course, was there at the beginning. And we couldn't make any assumptions, but we do believe because God has said it. So if our faith is in God's word, and God's word is true, that leads us to a better understanding of what actually happened. There's a conclusion. So we haven't taken you to better science this evening, though good science can be very helpful. But we don't want our understanding to rest on good or bad science, do we? What do we want our understanding to rest on, folks? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Do you believe that? Well, then I can bring the message to an end then. That's okay. Let's just pray, shall we? Lord, David reminded us that we are to be bold in our faith, but to be humble in our sharing of it with others. So, Lord, help us to stand firm in our faith. Thank you, Lord. Many of us don't need arguments to prove the reality of your existence. But help us, Lord, to help those who need to understand, who need to see our faith at work, our understanding that you've opened up to us through faith. And I pray again for this man who spoke on television tonight. Lord, open his heart, open his mind, open the eyes of his understanding to acknowledging you, the maker of heaven and earth. Just while we're in an attitude of prayer, I just want to remind you that God is still the creator. He didn't create and stop creating. He's still creating. And he's willing to create something for you. I'm not sure what you're going through, what it is that you need. Whether he needs to create a job for you, if you're facing redundancy, he can do that. Whatever your heart's desire is, he's able. He can do, as we reminded this morning, immeasurably more than all we can ask or even imagine, because he's God. Can I encourage you to affirm your trust in God's word tonight again? In Jesus' name we pray.